The Roman Empire lasted for 1,000 years. They say all roads lead to Rome. Who built them? The slaves brought from the occupied provinces like Israel and Judah. Who paid for those roads? The onerous burdensome taxes collected from all those different conquered places ringing the entire Mediterranean Sea, including Southern Europe, Western Asia, and North Africa. But all throughout those conquered provinces, if anyone was accused of treason against Rome, they were to be hung on a cross. And the Jewish people viewed that as a curse. Cursed be the man who hangs on a tree. But normally, when people were subject to this humiliating and excruciatingly lengthy death, they could last for quite some time because they were healthy when they were tied to the cross with rope. It was not the normal case to put them there with nails. And then that man would perhaps survive for days, if not weeks, until it was starvation or dehydration or the elements or animals that came to take his life. But Jesus lasted for only 3 hours on that cross. And it was not because he was weak. It was because he had been deprived of any sleep, hadn't eaten since the Last Supper, and was treated with no mercy, beaten within inches of his life before he was even led out to the cross. And therefore, no sooner had they nailed him to it, with blood pouring forth from so many wounds about his body, Jesus had to struggle for every breath as his lungs were filling with fluid. And therefore, for someone who's struggling so much to breathe, for him to be able to speak under those circumstances, extraordinary, and what he says is noteworthy. And Luke records Jesus saying only 3 things. Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. To the good thief, he said, today you will be with me in paradise. And then to God, into your hands, Lord, I commend my spirit. We'll just touch briefly on those last words of Christ on the cross and the Passion of Luke. Father, forgive them. Jesus was on a mission of mercy. He was setting about to forgive the sins of everyone. Everyone throughout time. People of every place. Not just some sins of some sinner, but every sin of every sinner, including me and including you. When the good thief said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Even though that man was guilty where Jesus was innocent, our Lord intended him also to enjoy the fruits of mercy that still flow forth freely from the cross. And by referring to heaven as paradise, it meant he was going to reopen the gates of Eden that all of us may pass heaven's gate and be in the Father's house one day and forever. But it's that last phrase, into your hands, Lord, I commend my spirit, that is most remarkable. Jesus was quoting Psalm 31. So many prophetic statements and fulfillment of the Old Testament happened in the last days of Jesus' life and indeed throughout his life and ministry. But that phrase, into your hands, Lord, I commend my spirit. What does that mean to commend? I'm giving. His life was not being taken from him. Not by those of the Sanhedrin who conspired against him to order his death. His life was not being taken from him by Pontius Pilate, who issued the sentence. His life was not being taken from him by those who nailed him to that cross. Jesus' life wasn't being taken from him at all. Into your hands, Lord, I commend my spirit. That was Jesus telling God, I give all that I have to you. I give it to you. For them, for us, for all. Jesus was giving his life to God for us as a gift, that in that moment where he seemed defeated, he might in fact become the great conqueror, defeating our greatest fears and enemies, sin, Satan, and death. He was totally committed to fulfilling the Father's will because he was totally prepared to pay that last full measure of devotion to God, giving every ounce of his blood, sweat, and tears for the forgiveness of our sins, the salvation of our souls, and that one day we too shall rise from the dead. Now that we and Christians everywhere go up with Jesus to Jerusalem on this Palm Sunday, the important thing is for us to travel with him in the days to come along his way of sorrows, the Via Dolorosa, to be there with him in the upper room on Holy Thursday when he offers the first Eucharist at the Last Supper and washes the feet of his disciples, to be with them later on Thursday night in the Olive Grove at Gethsemane as he sweat tears of blood, awaiting his betrayer and the soldiers who will carry him away. We will come back here on Good Friday to kiss the very cross on which hung our Savior for our salvation, And then, of course, there's that great night that begins in darkness. Next Saturday night, the Easter Vigil, when here in this parish and in every parish across the world, new Catholics will be baptized, confirmed to receive the Holy Eucharist for the first time. These are the great mysteries of our faith unfolding right before us. And we are reminded during Holy Week, there wasn't just one cross on Calvary. There were three, one for Jesus, one for me, and one for you.